Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Yes with your hostess, Pam Heath, the Yes Coach. Each week, Pam will speak about the energy of yes and how you can use it to create an extraordinary, prosperous life that you will absolutely love. Pam has spent a lifetime building and leading transformational programs and is passionate about making abundance available for everyone who yes. Callers are welcome, and we invite you to like Pam's show before leaving the program. So open your heart, open your mind, and be ready to receive what is possible from your friend, the Yes Coach.
Good evening, and welcome to the Science of Yes. I'm your hostess, Pamela Heath, and I am a Yes Coach. I live in the world of yes. I work with transformational practitioners who struggle to turn their passion into a profitable business, and I help them create a thriving business which is aligned with their life passion. I specialize in getting you organized for success in your life and or your business, and I teach you to run your business as a business and not as a hobby. You'll make money and take it to the next level, whatever that might be for you, guaranteed. I call myself a yes coach, and my process is the science of yes. Now, why do you think I call my process the science? Well, I specialize in supporting right-brain people to achieve spiritually what left-brain people achieve intellectually. You might ask, why science of yes? Well, we'll look at the definition of the word science. The definition of science is the intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experiment. And I realize that's a mouthful. But what I'm trying to get across is that my clients, the people who hire me to coach them, they get clear about who they are and what they want in life. And through observation and experiment, we burst through to take actions in their life to achieve whatever goals they set for themselves. So doing what you want to do in life, what you always wanted to do in life, achieving and going for your dreams, you take charge and make things happen in a time frame that you just didn't believe was possible before. And you learn from me, the Yes Coach, that by simply being a yes, you expand your capacity to have anything you are willing to say yes to. And when I say be yes, I'm not talking about semantics or simply the word yes. What I'm talking about is not just positive thinking either. I'm speaking of a mindset and how you live your life and who you get to be while you're living your life and the actions you take inside of that. And that's right. You know, there's who you are in life and there's who you be in life. And what I'm teaching you has everything to do with who you be and what you do as you're being that. So if you, who you be in life is yes, and what you do, the actions you take, is all sourced by yes, then what you get is a life of power, passion, and fun. And that's all there is to it. It's not complicated. And we as human beings, we complicate everything. Everything becomes this big to-do. Really, our minds play wild tricks on us. And we decide we know things that we actually don't know. My coaching, my support, my empowerment, my validation is all inside of structures that are designed to take you wherever you need to be and wherever you need to go so that you're a powerful force in your business. And this is specifically for those people who have creative and, most importantly, spiritual minds. So we craft, we design, and we deliver custom programs, trainings, and workshops. And we do it for corporations, we do it for institutions, we do it for practitioners, we do it for people. If you want to be your own boss and you want to be a business owner, someone who can make a living and actually achieve abundance and prosperity as an entrepreneur, and you're spiritual, a health practitioner, a creative artist, or even if you aren't sure what you want to do in life, but you know that you want to create in life and you want to create something and own your own business, then I'm your go-to guru. You want to get started, you want to take yourself to the next level at whatever level you are currently, you've succeeded if you're reaching out to me. I'm the Yes Coach, and I provide yes. Now, I'm currently writing a book, and that book is about my process. My book is called Say Yes. It is my process utilizing the science of yes, and I contribute to people, entrepreneurs, and spiritual entrepreneurs, so that you can take on your life, take on your goals, and win. So stay tuned. I'll be updating you when I do publish my book. But in the meantime, I'm going to be sharing about my process on my podcast, which I have every week here on Blog Talk Radio. It's called The Science of Yes, and it's, you know, myself, Pam Heath, the Yes Coach. And every week, we actually talk about the process of the science of yes. The conversation is about whatever is in the way that's got you frozen in place, your fears, your concerns, your worries. You want to take on life and everything it has to offer by being a yes. Just say yes. Say yes to courage. Say yes to romance. Say yes to whatever it's going to take for you to have what you want to have. Say yes. I talk to a lot of people, okay? And inside of, you know, my podcast, inside of when I reach out to people through my website, you know, I don't have a blog, but I do have a lot of conversations with people about my process, the science of yes. When I talk to people about my process, I really, you know, I encourage you to, you know, understand that this is very black and white. It's very simple. Life is, you know, some people say it's like a bowl of cherries. I think life is more like a baseball game. And the reason I say that is because in my process, you're like a baseball player who's up at bat, and life is pitching. And life pitches some really wild and crazy balls. Slow balls, curve balls, fast balls, whatever kind of balls you can imagine, life pitches, and you swing away. And when you swing, you miss, you hit, you do whatever. You don't have a whole lot to say about the pitches. Life pitches, and you just swing away. But what you have everything to say about in life, you get to manage how you react to the pitch. When life pitches, you react either in an empowering way for yourself and your life and your goals and your dreams, or you react in drama, upset, and worry, fear, concern. All of those things are completely and absolutely valid. There's nothing wrong with being afraid of something. But if you want to produce results consistently, ongoingly, effectively, you're going to have to go beyond feeling afraid. You're going to have to be bigger than your fear, and you're going to have to take it on. And inside of my process, you will be a yes. Yes, it contributes to you. Yes, it contributes to the world if you take on being yes. I use a lot of movie analogies in my, you know, teachings and my process. And when the show The Science of Yes comes on, you may or may not have noticed that there's a song that comes on that opens up my show, every show that I have, every week. I've had this show now since April of 2017. So, wow, I'm just realizing this will be a year next month. When my show comes on, the song that you hear is Robin Williams singing You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me. Now, here's the thing. It's one of my favorite songs, and it's kind of, it has a Broadway show tune kind of feel to it. And it's in the part of the movie. It's from the motion picture, the animated motion picture, Aladdin, where Robin Williams is the genie. And this is the moment in the movie when Aladdin in the cave stumbles upon and finds the lamp and actually rubs the lamp, and the genie appears. And the first thing the genie tells Aladdin is, okay, buddy, you got 3 wishes. Go for it. And Aladdin's like, what? 3 wishes, what? And so the genie is making it clear to him what it is that he just did by rubbing the lamp. He just opened up a whole world of possibilities, because anything he could imagine, anything he could possibly want, anything at all was now available to him. All he had to do was ask. So the song is called You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me. And I'm not going to sing the song to you. You know, I promise I won't. But I'm going to say some of the words, because the beginning of the song is very pertinent to what I'm teaching and my process, the science of yes. also, you've got some power in your corner now, some heavy ammunition in your camp. You've got some punch, pizzazz, yahoo, and how. See, all you got to do is rub that lamp. And I'll say, Mr. Aladdin, sir, what will your pleasure be? Let me take your order. Jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me. Life is your restaurant, and I'm your maitre d'. Come on, whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me. Yes, sir, we pride ourselves on service. You're the boss, the king, the shah. Say what you wish. It's yours to dish. Hey, how about a little more baklava? Have some of column A. Try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you do. You ain't never had a friend like me. So that's the beginning. The song goes on. But that's how the song pretty much elaborates on what it is that Aladdin did when he rubbed the lamp. You just opened up a whole new world, and that world is given by a friend like me. And who I am is someone who can grant any wish. So I'd like you to consider for just a moment that that song is being sung, not by me, Pam Heath, the Yes Coach, but by Robin Williams, the genie in Aladdin, to you. Now he's singing the song to you. You've got some power in your corner now. You've got some heavy ammunition in your camp. And when he's singing it to you, he's really telling you, life is your restaurant and I'm your maitre d'. So, what would you order? A new home? A new car? A new romantic partner? Look, what about your career? Isn't it about time that you started thinking about what you would ask for? If the genie from Aladdin suddenly appeared before you and said, hey, you ain't never had a friend like me, what would you ask him for? See, the whole point is this. Anything you want for your life is available. So if you're recognizing that this is starting to, like, occur, like something that's available, possible, like you could actually have what you want, that's the intention of me saying this to you. That life is designed for you to have whatever you want. And when you get whatever you want, you do that by asking. So, you might be recognizing a little thread here of the elements of the law of attraction, and you'd be on point. I'm a strong believer in and a practitioner of the law of attraction. So let's take a minute to talk about the law of attraction, because it's very, very important. And, you know, I'm sitting here now, and I have designed my weekly podcast around the process that I call the science of yes. I'll talk about it. I'll explain about it. Every week, I pretty much say what's going on with life inside the science of yes. If you have a question or if you have anything you want to interact with me about, you can call in and ask me. The number to call in during my show, which is going to go on now for the next 45 minutes, 323-642-1207. That's 323-642-1207. Call that number. You can talk to me, and you and I can discuss what you're dealing with in your world, and we can apply the science of yes. So we had someone that just now called in. Let's see who this is. Hello. Hi. This is Pam Heath, the Yes Coach. You're on live. Who's this?
Hi, Pam. This is Katie.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm recuperating, actually. I was very sick last week. That's why I didn't have a show.
Oh, I feel better.
I feel much better. I had caught the flu. A lot of people are catching that really bad flu that's going around, and I had it.
Oh, wow.
So what's up, sweetie pie? Did you want to ask me something?
I'm trying to attract a job, and I'm wondering, well, I want to attract a job, and I want to attract a job I would like, and I'm wondering, I don't know, how can I attract it fast, or what's going on with me, and why it hasn't really shown up.
Okay. So you want to attract a job. Is it what does the job that you're trying to attract match your skill set?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And what would you say is the first thing that you would like to accomplish in attracting that job?
I kind of want the pay. I think it's the pay. I want the pay to be something I feel is decent, something I feel I could at least, you know, live with for a little, you know, at least for a little while. I want the pay to be reasonable. I kind of don't want to.
I don't want how much you want to make, but you need to have that figure in your mind. You want to be specific about how much you want to make. And like I said, you don't have to tell me if you don't want to, but just have the figure in mind you would like to make. Are you currently working right now, Katie?
No.
Okay. And how long have you been out of work?
I was for about two months.
2 months? Okay. And how soon would you like to start working now?
Tomorrow.
The job right away.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. So do you have the ability to take notes?
Let me hold on.
Grab a pen. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, what is the job title of the position that you want? You don't have to tell me, but you do need to write it down.
Okay.
Did you write it down?
No.
Tell me when
I wrote. I just wrote down job. Okay, I just wrote down job title.
Okay. All right. So, and you can share it with me if you choose to, but you're on the air. You may not want to say it out loud for the whole planet Earth in the air. All right, but you do need to write it down for yourself. So write down, you wrote the job title, and you wrote down, or you will write down how much you want to make. Be specific. If you wanted to do an annual salary, write that. If you want to say how much you want to make per month. And the way that I would do it if I were you, I would look at what you need. I call it your, you want to make your nut, like a squirrel gets a certain amount of nuts that it squirrels away for the winter. You know, you want to make your nut for you to pay your rent, pay your bills, and have a little bit extra abundance so that you can go to the movies and see Black Panther and go to dinner and do that sort of thing.
Right.
So you want, that's the amount of money you want to have in mind. And for me, how I always coach people when you're saying this, you're looking at your nut, which is your basic bills that your necessities that must be paid. You're looking at abundance, which is the entertainment value, the play, I call it, when you want to go to the movies, when you want to go, you know, buy something for yourself. You know, I don't know if you have hobbies or things that you want to do, a new book or whatever, get your hair done, blah, blah. The things that are fun to do, but you don't always have the money to do, I call that play money. You get that plus your nut, and then always, always add 10% on top of that, and that's how much you want to make.
Okay.
You always want to have abundance. Always want to have play money. This is very important because a lot of people don't take play money into account. But when I train and develop my clients in budgeting themselves and getting what they need, you must always have play money. What good is it to have to work, you know, nose to the grindstone and not have any fun? So, so now you know how much you need to make, and I don't know whether it's the annual salary you chose or it's a monthly salary or even a weekly salary. Whichever it is that you got your full attention on, that's how much you want to write down here. Your job title, how much you want to make, and now here's the other part. Now, this is totally up to you. This is personal preference. I'm not going to tell you which way to go, but you want to talk about patience. Some people want to have a job where they fall out of bed into their job, okay? They want it to be within 10 or 15 where they live. Some people have no concern about commuting to a work hour, 2 hours every day. They got nothing. I owned a home in a beautiful neighborhood when I was raising my two children, and I commuted to work. It was an hour and a half to an hour and a half back every freaking day, Monday through Friday. And that was worth it to me because of where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing you want to ask yourself is location, location, location. Where do I want to
yes.
work? Okay? Write that down because mm-hmm. you have to distinguish for yourself. Think about it. There's a point in my life where I got my children were grown, adults, okay? So I no longer had the home mm-hmm. in the country. I wanted to fall out of bed and to work, and I got a job that was 10 minutes away from where I worked. I literally could brush my teeth, take my shower, do my thing, and 10 minutes after I got out of bed, I could be at my job. I loved it.
Wow.
Okay?
That's
so
good. Yeah, that's good.
You've got one end of the spectrum, and you've got the other end of the spectrum where I really don't care how long it takes for me to get there. I just want this job, and it's okay with me if I have to come in. All right? Location. Where
mm-hmm.
do you want this job? The last thing I'm going to ask you to write down, okay, and this is important,
mm-hmm.
so think about it carefully. Do
mm-hmm.
you want to work from home, or do you want to work in a building, like a brick-and-mortar building where you go to it every day, Monday through Friday, or maybe Tuesday through Saturday? I don't know what your work schedule is, but is this something that you want to work for yourself, to telecommute, or do you want to work for another company, and do you want to work for a company that's big, like a huge IBM or, you know, Forbes 500 company, or do you want to work for some small little, you know, mom-and-pop where you are the manager and everything comes from you? Like, so there's something to be said for working for a small company because you're connected to everybody. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what you do for a living, whether you're a teacher or whether you're an administrator or whether you're a waitress. I don't know what you do, but do you want to work for a big company or do you want to work for a small company or do you want to work for yourself?
Okay.
So I call that
okay.
When you're working for somebody else, which is fine, it's
mm-hmm.
completely great, then
mm-hmm.
what I call that, I say that that's like you're trading hours for money. Do you follow?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
Trade money. That's the mindset. You're trading hours for money. You have something to give. You have something to offer. I have a skill set. You want this skill set? If you want me to come to your place of business for 8 hours, Monday through Friday, you got to pay me this.
Right.
Do you get that? Trading hours for
mm-hmm.
money. If that's what you want, then be clear that that's what you're doing. You're trading hours for money. You want them to pay you for your skill set. Is that
okay? Okay, so this is it's so funny that you're asking these questions. I'm like, I can see my issue.
Yeah, that, when
okay.
you break it down like this, it's very clear what's going on.
So I kind of want two things. So I would like to get, I mean, now, no, I want three things. I would love to hit the lottery. I would love to just receive the money. Okay. I would love that. So I'm going to definitely say that. So number two, so say if I did have a job, I want, I'm uncomfortable. I went to school for law, but I have to, well, technically I have to pass the bar exam to be a lawyer. And then
yeah.
it's I guess I would be getting a entry-level lawyer position, but I haven't passed the bar yet, so I'm waiting for my results. So it's like either you were at the top of your class, if you were at the top of your class, then, yeah, you could go into a big firm and get a bunch of money. It's like the market seems like if you weren't at the top of your class, then you can't, then it's just like either city jobs or a small or medium-sized law firm, and they're not really paying you anything. So it's like, what do you do? So I do.
Depends.
I would like to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm.
It depends. You say, what do you do? It has everything to do with, you're right, you know, when you pass the bar, if you're in a certain percentile of people who pass the bar, mm-hmm. it really can dictate what kind of law firm you can work for. Some people who pass the bar. They want to start their own law firm. They want to get started. But to do that, you got to find clients. When you go work for a large law firm, you basically, you're joining a firm that already has clients, and they assign certain
right.
work projects to you. The only thing about that
right.
you need to know is how I started my career with as a legal secretary is that
mm-hmm.
when you're just starting out entry level, you're going to get the bulk of the what's the word that I want to use without cursing?
The work, the labor, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get the bulk of the grunt work, the research, the writing of the motions and the briefs and the papers. You're going to be spending a lot of hours, and you have to have a lot of billable hours in order to climb the so-called ladder in the average law firm, the large law firm. Now, you can join a
mm-hmm.
small law firm that only has four or five or maybe six attorneys, and you're working twice as hard because, you know, you're
mm-hmm.
scrambling clients. So it's up to you. If you want stability, you know, you want someone who's already gotten the clients and you just want them to give you the work, you do the work and go home, but then a large law firm
mm-hmm.
would be what's in store. There, even before you pass the bar, okay, you can get work in a law firm if you've been studying law. The paralegals make, you know, I bought a home when I was making a legal secretary's salary. It can be lucrative. It's a lot of work.
Believe it or not, a lot of these places, when I went to a couple of temp agencies and I sent my resume out for paralegal positions, they feel like they know I'm not going to stay. This is what they tell me. They see I went to law school. They know I'm taking the bar. They feel like once I'm a lawyer, I'm not going to stay in a position. So a lot of them are not interested in hiring me as a, I guess, for a permanent paralegal or anything like that.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that because they're clear. You're just in a holding pattern waiting to find out what's going on with your bar.
Right. And then most of the big law firms, then unless you were at the top of your class, they're not hiring you. It's funny because it's discrimination in these law firms,
yep.
you know, where you're supposed to protect, you know, stop discrimination, but this is where they do that. And so they're not hiring you. So most of the, say, positions that possibly may be available for me, you know, they're going to pay okay, but not enough for where I'm living at or my expenses or anything like that. But
all that stuff is true that you're saying. It's absolutely true. They do, you know, working in law firms can be very, very political. You know, but just,
mm-hmm.
just one thing to keep in mind, you know, is that when you're operating inside of the world of yes, you're creating your own future. This is why I had to write those things down. Because what
mm-hmm.
you want, what you can have, is dictated by you. It's not dictated by them. So you just have to make sure
okay.
you know what you want and you go after it. Yes, there's law firms. I'm going to tell you, there's plus and minuses to anything, and there's plus and minuses
right.
to working for a large law firm. They're very, very, very set in their ways. You do it their way or you see the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they are. You know, and there were some law firms downtown Los Angeles where you punched a time clock.
Wow.
You know, it's just, you know, you have to measure it by what you actually want. So rather than go from place to place and see what they're offering, what
mm-hmm.
I encourage you to do is to distinguish and distinguish and distinguish what you want and go after it. Go after what
okay.
you want. Rather than say, look, do you want me?
Right. I receive what you're saying. What I want is I really want to learn the skills. For example, if I'm going to be doing litigation or even real estate closings, I want to learn this, learn and enhance my skills and be able to either get a profit from the business or get my own clients. And, you know, that way I, you know, can be my own attorney. So I'm definitely interested in learning the skill and then be able to be on my own.
Yeah.
So
when will you know about your results from the bar exam?
May.
You don't have to wait until you get the results to determine what you're going to do with yourself. You can start working now towards what you want to create. If you want to work for yourself, if you want to, you know, hang up your shingle and start your own law practice, have you thought about what kind of law you want to practice?
Yeah, I'm just sitting litigating. I wouldn't want to know what I'm doing first before I, you know what I mean, before I do anything for taking on clients. I don't know the steps. But I like litigation. I definitely like I would love to
There's different kinds of litigation, though. There's litigation where you're dealing solely with automobile accidents and insurance. They call that insurance.
Personal injury, and I also police brutality and stuff like that. I like that type of stuff. I like civil litigation.
Corporation and contract law, where you go in, breach of contract, you deal with companies that are not producing what they said they would produce and someone's suing them, or their product is level and people are suing them. And, you know, litigating can be in the realm of corporation law. It can be in the realm of personnel law. You could become an HR law. There's also civil litigation where it's all business.
Yeah.
I
like personal injury, and then, yeah, like, for example, when people are being, you know, police brutality and stuff like that, and, police are violated their rights and stuff like that, I would like to, sue the city and stuff like that, yeah.
Okay, so that particular kind of law, there's a facet of law called police misconduct, where people specialize in, like, the Rodney King situation, and when the police come in and they do something, and then you to the city, and there can be that can actually be very lucrative, but it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go after them, and you have to be able to pay for everything up front and get reimbursed when the case is won.
Mm-hmm.
And it can take upwards of 5 or 6 years before you actually get to the result, the end result. So that's something to keep in mind. But these are the kinds of things. You're absolutely right, by the way. I heard you say earlier that you just want to work around in different facets of the law until you find the one that kind of calls to you, and that's what, you know, that's what you should do. But while you are working that out for yourself, you can still, you don't have to wait to know the result of you passing the bar. You can still go out and get jobs, and I know people, you're absolutely right. There are law firms that, you're waiting to hear what your bar exam result is. You're not going to stay here. You know, we don't want to hire you. But the same token, on the other flip side of that, they may be interested in you if you're willing to commit to them. Like, look, when I get my results from the bar exam and I pass the bar, I need to start somewhere. I'd love to start here.
Right. That's true.
Interview, it's a question of in having them understand you and your mindset. You don't want to leave them with, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm going to do. You want to leave them with confidence, like, exactly what I'm doing. I know what I'm up to. I'm not 100% clear which facet of law appeals to me, but I want to work in a law firm that has different divisions. So that way I can support in this division. Let's say they have an insurance defense division, and I want to do some work in that arena, and then over here they have a division for civil litigation. I want to work in that arena, and they have a criminal division, and I want to work in that arena. And it's an opportunity to get the kind of exposure that will help me choose my specialization in law. So it's something that you can say in your interview, like, this is what I'm up to, and this is what I want to create, and this is the perfect place for me to create that. You want to leave them with, you want me. You want
okay.
me. There is, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm the one you're looking for. Your search is over.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's how you
okay.
want to do it. So that I had to write down what you wanted in your job description. Now, if this is truly what you want, then your job description would be attorney. You know, and then your
okay.
And an attorney can, their salary is very, very up in the air because it depends. It depends
yeah.
on your organization, on the level of expertise you have. It depends on, entry level attorney can make anywhere from $50,000 to $60,000 a year. You know, it just depends.
Mm-hmm.
You work for a large firm and be another grunt, you know, or you
mm-hmm.
work for a small, work your way up to the top. I worked for an attorney who was an associate, and by 17 years later, he was the managing partner of the firm.
Okay.
So, you know, the sky's the limit.
Right.
You just get the sky's the limit to where you want to go. You have to decide for yourself. And, you know, you have to learn how to interview well. You know, because when they're looking
uh-huh.
for what they're looking for, you have to let them know. It's kind of like when you're on a date with a guy and you want to convince them, you know, hey, your baby cakes, I'm the girl of your dreams, okay? And for a lot of people,
right.
it's very difficult for them to toot their own horn, to actually say, I am the thing that you've been looking for all your life. Aren't you the lucky one? You found me. You know, it's hard for them to open their mouths and say things like this, but you can absolutely say things like this. If you do, they'll believe it to the extent that you believe it. Trust me.
You know what? I don't know. I've been on, I haven't been on that many law firm interviews, but a lot of the temp agency, like I was with the temp agency and work they had me doing, I wanted more money. Even though they was paying me good, I felt like I needed more money. And I guess they didn't want to cut me into their money. So they asked the employer for more money and they said no. And I wound up losing that position. And I'm like, I felt like I shouldn't even say anything. And then I went on another interview maybe a week or two ago. And I told the guy what I wanted. And he was like, well, we have a position that was paying like $10 less. And because I wanted so much, he seemed like he didn't want to submit me for the position. I guess he felt maybe I was going to look for something else since my number was higher. So I'm like, I don't know what to say now. I don't know if I should say exactly what I want or not say it.
You should always say what you want, okay? Just because somebody doesn't
okay.
want to give it to you, you shouldn't want it. Okay?
Okay.
Who doesn't give you what you want, that doesn't mean stop wanting it. It just means that you're the right person.
So right. Right.
What you're
right.
going to give in to somebody, you know, you tell them, this is what I want, and they say to you, oh, well, I can't afford to give you that. It doesn't mean don't want that thing. You can actually say to them, well, I might be willing to look at $10 less, but in order for me to accept $10 less, then I'm going to have to do something else on this area to make up for the fact that I'm not getting the exact amount of money I want in this area. Like, I might be willing to compromise,
mm-hmm.
but I would have to manage it somehow. If I'm going to compromise this, there's got to be something's got to give in another area for me to compromise what I'm looking for salary-wise. But it doesn't mean that I'm not negotiating. I'm willing to negotiate. The bottom line is I'm willing to negotiate. If you are, but we're negotiating here. That's what we're doing. I'm not giving in to or saying I don't want that thing. I'm willing to negotiate. And that's how I would put it to people. I'm not to compromise on what I want, but I'm always willing to negotiate.
Okay. Yeah, because
okay.
a lot of, you know, some positions they will, you know, respond with your salary requirements and, you know, da 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 da, and I'm like, I don't know if I should say what I want. How they're going to react.
Yes. The answer is yes. Tell them what you want. When they ask you, it's true. You're absolutely right. There are times when they ask you up.
Sometimes I might not hear back from them.
Exactly.
After that.
You need to hear back from them. Those are the ones who aren't going to hire you because they don't want to pay you what you want. What you want is someone who's going to pay you what you want. Is that accurate?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So why bother with someone who's not going to do that? Now, if you're stuck and you need a job and you want to compromise, I understand. But I don't think
right.
you should compromise. You can, like I said, you can negotiate. You can say to them, okay,
right.
this is what I want and it's negotiable. You can say it like that. This is what I want and it's negotiable. But don't ever not tell them what you want. Don't ever hesitate
okay.
to tell them what you want. And the reason why, and remember this, if you never hear my voice again for the rest of your life, remember what I'm about to say to you right now. Okay?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Because they give it to you. I mean, wouldn't that be great? That's why I always say what you want. You might get it.
That's true. That is true.
You might get it. And wouldn't that be exciting?
That's true, because another position, they were trying to, the woman said, you know, pay this much. And I said, no, I'm not, as far as, like, I'm not traveling that far. I have to pay two fees for that. If you pay me, you would have to come up for me to take this position. And then she came up, actually.
Yeah, and you must get it, and you must, you know, just always tell them it's negotiable.
Right.
I'm willing to have a conversation.
Right.
If you want me and you can't afford this, we can talk. I can't promise you I'll come down, but I am willing to negotiate. From there, and if you put it like that, they will talk to you. It's true. Some people don't even talk to you if you say a figure that's way beyond what they're hoping to pay. But like I said, that's important information. You want to know that. You want to know that. If they're not willing to pay
right.
a certain amount, you may want to, you know, cut them off the possibility list. But by the same token, you know, you also want to be clear that there may be somebody out there just looking for you specifically willing to pay what you want. And you don't want to, like, get so caught up in trying to get just any old thing that says yes to you and miss out on
right.
the opportunity to get the perfect job that was waiting, you know, because you took the first thing that came along.
Okay. Well, I mean, right now I think I can take something and even because I know about some temp things, so I might take something, you know, in the meantime until I get what I want.
Remember to sit down, like, pick a time during the day to sit down and visually what you want and write it down. Always write it down. I'm a big believer in writing it down. And saying what you want. And then when you go, I started out my career as a temp when I started working for law firms. You go to an agency and they send you out. A lot of times those law firms will hire you. That a lot of law firms hire the people that temp there because they get an opportunity to see the person and see how they work and find out whether or not it's a good match.
Right. That's true. But, yeah, what I want to do is I want to do law, but I also want to do another, like, my personal business. And I kind of want to use the money, you know, the money to invest in my personal business and get that off the ground. So that's all when you were saying. I was like, okay, maybe. I don't know if I'm having a conflict of interest. Like, I really want to do one thing or whatever, but I feel like I want to do both for now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
Is it a network marketing business? What is this other business for you personally?
I want to do like food. I want to do like sweets and like candy and chocolate and cakes and things like that.
So you're
and donuts and stuff like that. I know how to make chocolate. I know how to make chocolate and how to make cakes. Yeah, I'm not a cook. I would say
that's
cook,
so delightful. That's awesome. Is what do you call it? Do you have a special name?
I kind of have two names. I'm thinking about two names for it because I kind of, you know, because I feel like it's two different. It could be, you know, I know about marketing, so it's kind of like two different. I want one to be something like how Godiva is, and then I want the other one to just be, you know, like you can make it fried thing, fried candy, like fried Oreos, fried, you know, Snickers and stuff like that, like more fun. So it's kind of like two different, I kind of have like two different dessert brands, or sweets, you know, like pop-ups and things you can have at events and stuff like that.
Okay. So let me ask
but
you.
But I didn't,
You're a chocolate on the side, and you also went to law school, and you studied law, and you're waiting for your results from your bar. So what? Which one of these two skill sets gives you the most passion, lights you up the most?
Okay, well, definitely the chocolate, the cakes and everything. Like, I kind of feel like deprived myself. So I kind of was more developing the idea and practicing here and there, but I didn't really fully do it while I was in school and everything. I kind of just put me last in school first. So now I kind of want my life back, and I want my joy back, and the food and stuff is a big part of my joy. And I kind of wanted to share my joy with the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
why do you focus on that? Why are you focusing on the law career?
I guess I'll spend all this money. let me do something.
It does cost. It's not cheap. I get it.
You know, so let me learn something so at least I could do it whenever I feel like it.
It will serve you though, sweetheart, as someone who's familiar with the law, you won't have any problem, you know, getting your
the contracts and
exactly. You can read the contracts, you'll get the wool pulled over your eyes. So it's not like a waste. Because a lot of times people who are starting restaurants and that sort of thing, they get sidetracked because all the legality is mind-boggling for many of them, and it won't be that way for you.
Right. But no, this is my passion. I mean, honestly, this is what I plan to do. Like, on a week, I'm, you know, just putting together my marketing plan and how I'm planning to get it, you know, out to people and stuff like that. But this is what I'm really interested in doing. But I want to get, I'm just looking for a law job or whatever for the funding, really, for, I want to learn, you know, do my law, do the skills, get the skills. But I really want to get the funding for my other business.
How much funding do you want?
I don't exactly know, but at least whatever job I have, I want to just have money to invest in my other business each week. So I want to do, for example, if I, like each week I want to do some learning, designing cakes and stuff like that. So each week I definitely want to do a cake, you know, post it and things like that, or just get the product so I can sell them. Because, you know, the ingredients cost a lot. So I want to, even if I'm going to go to a festival or something, say on a weekend and stuff and sell my stuff, I want to have the money to, you know, get the pop-up shop and get the products, you know, to sell. And then hopefully, you know, then the businesses can make, you know, make its own money. But I got to get you know, some more equipment and stuff like that.
Have you ever seen the show Shark Tank?
I watch it every day. I saw it today. Right now I'm watching The Prophet. He's helping a cooking company.
If you were on Shark Tank, okay, if you were in front of this wonderful, all the great guys and gals on Shark Tank, and you were delivering a talk to try to get them best in your business, do you know what you would say?
I would say, are you ready to taste the best chocolate in the world? It's going to bring you so much joy. You're going to be so happy. You're going to share with everybody.
Wow.
Something like that.
Cool. That's very cool. So that's another thing that you can take on. I encourage you to pretend that you are going on Shark Tank. I actually know someone who went on Shark Tank. And he's a very dear friend of mine, and he went on Shark Tank, and he was not chosen. As a matter of fact, Mr. Wonderful told him on television that he had a very stupid idea and that he should go and do something else. And it kind of challenged him, you know, when he was he had diabetes, and he really liked sweets, like, you know, cakes and cupcakes, you know, muffins and things. And he had created this style of baking where it was sugar-free. And so we had these free baking things and muffins and things of that nature. And he wanted to get investment so that he could start marketing it. And they turned him down. So he went out. What a lot of people hear is that when people go on Shark Tank and the sharks don't choose them, most of the time, other people who are watching the show will contact them. And they'll get a lot of the people who
see
Shark Tank.
They'll still get lots of publicity.
Exactly. They'll get publicity, and so they'll get money outside of the show. And that's what happened to my friend Jeff. He got a lot of money, actually. And they invested in his bakery, and he started it, and it was a huge success, so successful that he ended up selling it to a big company who bought it from him, and he made millions. And Shark Tank came back and did a follow-up show with him, which they sometimes do, people who are chosen and people who are not chosen when their businesses took off. Uber isn't a good example. They turned Uber down, by the way. And same thing happened to Uber. Yeah, Uber, what's his name? Mr. Wonderful had the opportunity, and he turned it down, and the rest is history. Uber went on to become this incredible multi-million-dollar company. And a lot of times that happens. It happens because the sharks on the TV show don't a good investment, other people watching the show think it is a good investment, and so they end up getting money. Why I shared that with you is that my friend Jeff, before he went on Shark Tank, before he applied to go on Shark Tank, he watched Shark Tank all the time, just like you do, and what he did was he prepped himself to present his company as if he was going to be on Shark Tank, and lo and behold, he ultimately was. Turned down, and then a year later, they went back and did a follow-up show with him because, you know, he ended up becoming such a success that he sold the business for millions, and he became a millionaire. And my friend Jeff, you know, that happened because he planned it well ahead of time. He planned it. He watched Shark Tank, said, I want to go on that show, and he prepared himself for his presentation. He did his presentation, and he did not get chosen, but it all turned out in the end. Ultimately, and it happens a lot.
Right.
So you know, it happens a lot. People go on there and they don't get picked. But people pick them that are watching the show. So I would prep myself as if I'm going to go on Shark Tank and say, you know, this is what I've got. Just like you said, I like how you said that so boldly. You know, prepare yourself. You are about to taste best chocolate you have ever tasted. So get ready. Are you ready? I don't think so. So, you know, you really want to accept that it's all in how you sell it. But you want to have your mind.
Yeah.
You know how the sharks are really hard on people who haven't done their due diligence. You have to know how much money you need, why you need it, what you're going to do with it, how you're going to do this, how you're going to do that. They want to hear all that stuff. Write out your business plan. If you need help, you know, writing your business plan, there's a lot of research you can do online for free. You don't have to pay. I don't recommend that you pay someone to do it unless it's on Fiverr. You only pay $5 or $10. That's a whole other conversation. But don't pay someone to do your business plan. Then you're not doing thinking.
Right.
You know, but I'm much more enrolled personally in the cakes than I am in the lawyer
thing. You have more passion when you talk about that. You're more happy.
Yeah.
You're more,
yeah.
There's more joy when you're talking about the baking than when you're talking about being a lawyer. And you can do both. I mean, a lot of people get a job so they can make the money they need to fund the thing they really want to do. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Just know, attorney, in the beginning when you're starting out entry level, it's really a lot of work. It's a lot of work. So it's going to be hard to get them on the side. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Know that.
Yeah.
But that background, and you probably have a whole kit and caboodle of student loans, but that background will do you well. You know, as somebody running a business, you've got a head up that you have a background in law. Because the contracts alone, I would focus on corporate law, given that you want to run your own business. You are an entrepreneur, okay? And that will be, you know, forget criminal law, because what you really want to do, as long as you've already taken the bar, whether you passed or not, as long as you've already studied law and taken the bar, you might as well focus
on
feed your true dream, your true passion, your true goal in life is to manage this conversation for these bakery goods. So I would study corporate law, contracts and you know, leases and things of that nature. That's going to...
Yeah. I like real estate too, and trademark.
Yeah, have your own brand of chocolate delectables.
Yes.
I have a feeling, just based on what I'm hearing, that this is actually the thing that's going to light you up and give you meaning, give you purpose in life, is this thing.
Yeah, it makes me so happy.
Yes,
I've always
does.
Loved it, though. I've loved it since I was a kid, though. I love chocolate, obsessed with chocolate. And while I was in law school, because I was so unhappy, I really got to think about what I really love, and it has to be food and chocolate.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, now, you know, so law school did help me find my passion, just law. So, that's what I really, really, really want to do. So, I mean, I prefer a law job, but if I got a job working wherever and it paid me more than enough money and I can deal with whatever it is, you know, the day, I can do it, because that's my main focus, is getting my food business where I want it to be. So, but I'm gonna get focused and write down some things, and that's why I kind of feel like I have so many. I guess I haven't been decisive when it comes to the job I want, because it's like I really want to do something else. So it's like I'm kind of open to so many different things with the job.
Yes. Yes. Well, let me tell you something. You are decisive. You know exactly what you want. You just haven't been honoring it.
Okay.
You're worried that you can't have what you want. So you're running around making sure you have a safety net.
Yes. You know what?
You know,
actually, while I went to law school. Yes. Hello?
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Why I went to law school, because I wanted a safety net. Yeah.
You find to have a safety net, but I want you to know something. If you were to sit and listen to the recording of this call at another date, which you're welcome to do, if you go to Blog Talk Radio, you can listen to the recording. You can also download the podcast on Blog Talk Radio on your iTunes podcast. Just search for The Science of Yes for the show on this date. And listen to yourself interacting with me in the beginning when we were talking about you being a lawyer, and how you shifted when we started talking about you and your chocolate. You come alive when you talk about there is absolutely, definitely a commitment there, but your fear and your concern are in the way.
and that's all there is to it. And that's okay. It's okay to have that. Just don't let it run the show. Okay? Just don't let it run the show. The show is called, and then I know you're kicking around some names for it, you know, treat yourself to some fun in life. Start dwelling in your dream. Dwell in your dream. Think about the place. You want a brick and mortar. You know, Wicked Cupcakes was on Shark Tank, and they chose them, and they funded Wicked Cupcakes. I love those things. I buy them all the time. They're expensive, but there's nothing more decadent than one of those cupcakes in a jar. I can't even.
I remember that episode. And I've seen Wicked Cupcakes in store.
Oh, yeah, I love Wicked Cupcakes. I give them as gifts. People love when I give them as gifts, Wicked Cupcakes. They make the perfect So, you know, dwell in your dream. And the show is coming to an end, so I'm going to have to let you go. But dwell.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. I enjoy talking to you. And don't hesitate to come back and talk to me another time. Don't hesitate to keep creating your dreams. Yes, you're waiting to hear about your results from your bar exam, but don't let that stop you from reaching for your dream. Okay?
Yes.
All right, darling.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Have a wonderful weekend, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
You too.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next week. Bye.